March 13th, 2512 AD. Location, Golan Dry Docks. Galactic position, Norma Arm.
Starliner 810-2034, this is Dry Docks Traffic Control. Please come in.
Traffic Control, this is Starliner 810-2034.
Ahead of me, the Golan Dry Docks looked like a cross between bleached bones and a giant spider web. 8-mile pillars described the outside of the platform in lilting arches like the ribs of a gigantic skeleton. The dry docks housed over 800 cubic miles of space for building ships. Golan did not orbit a planet. It was a free-floating space station.
Starliner pilot, please identify yourself and prepare for a security scan.
This request did not worry me. Admiral Kleiber had picked me for this assignment. The head of Doctrinaire Security crafted my new identity and logged my clearance and flight plans while I was still on New Columbia. I flew a Johnston R-56 Starliner, a 20-seat luxury craft on loan to me from the Doctrinaire fleet.
Please state your identity.
Lieutenant Commander Jeff Brocious, UA Navy.
Lieutenant Commander Brocious, copy. Are there passengers aboard your flight?
No, sir.
Thank you, Starliner.
Traffic control was acting unusually polite, and I had a pretty good idea why. Security gave me the name Brocious because Admiral Alden Brocious, the officer in command of the Central Cygnus fleet, was headed to the Golan Dry Docks for the summit. For all the men in the traffic tower knew, I was the Admiral's son or nephew.
Starliner R-56, we are under heightened security at this time. Please switch off all onboard controls. Our traffic computers will guide your ship into port.
Aye. The traffic tower took control of my ship the moment my hands left the panel. Lights turned on and off as traffic control accessed all of my instrumentation. They might discover that I had unusual equipment on board, but they would not know it was a broadcast engine unless they tracked me from millions of miles away. My ship slowed to a near standstill as it joined the queue waiting to enter the Phase 2 landing bays. Unlike the rest of the platform, Phase 2 of the Golan platform was totally enclosed. Leaning back in my seat, I took in the sights as my ship dropped into place. Inside, I could see the brightly lit landing area and the staging area that planes entered just before takeoff. Beyond that, so far away that it looked no bigger than my fist, was the half-mile-wide aperture for departing flights. Whether by computer or human talent, traffic control brought me in for a perfect landing. A runway technician towed me through the atmosphere locks and into the staging area. There would be no old-fashioned blast door on the ultra-modern Golan dry docks, no sir. On Golan, the locks were completely transparent electroshields. I grabbed my bags and climbed out of the Johnston. Two guards, armed with M27s, approached and saluted as I stepped onto the deck. I, wearing my Charlie service uniform and looking like a quintessential officer, saluted back.
Commander Brocious, may I take your bag?
Aye.
Please follow us, sir.
The soldiers led me to the security station, a well-lighted island in the otherwise dim light of this enormous spacecraft hangar. All I had to do was walk between the posts, an innocuous 10-foot archway made of beige-colored plastic. Terrorists and criminals feared the posts. They made supposedly extinct clones edgy as well. The post on the left side of the archway housed a device called the sprayer, which emitted a fine mist of oil and water and a sudden blast of air. The jam on the right was the receiver, a micron-filtered vacuum that drew in the air, the mist, and anything that the sprayer dislodged. There was no disguising your identity from the posts. You could wash, shower, and shave your entire body with a micron-bladed scalpel, and the gust from the left post would still find dandruff, flecks of skin, loose hair, lint, or sweat. A bank of computers analyzed every substance the right post drew in.
Commander Brocious?
The MP motioned toward the posts. I had to pass through security funnels like this one on every planet. The difference was, this was the Golan Dry Docks, a high-security facility. The computers would recognize that I was a liberator. But the men manning the computers were no more screening for liberators than they were screening for dinosaurs or dragons. As long as my identity cleared, my liberator DNA would not trigger an alarm. I stepped into the arch, my mind already focusing on what I would do once I left the security station. The Joint Chiefs had already arrived. Admiral Kleiber and the other field officers would arrive in another 2 hours. As soon as I left this station, I would make a preliminary sweep of the corridors just beyond the security station. Then I would move to Kleiber's quarters. If I worked quickly, I would finish an hour before he arrived. The post on my left blew out a millisecond-long burst of air. In the booth beside the posts, four soldiers sat beyond the glass playing poker. One had just turned over his hand. The others tossed their cards onto the table in disgust. Suddenly, the security station went on alert. Bright red warning lights flashed on and off over my head. Clear sheets of bulletproof plastic slid out of the walls, creating a bulletproof setting. By the time I realized what had happened, every soldier in the security station had drawn his gun and closed in around me. The MP holding my bag stepped to the glass and held up a piece of paper for me to read. It was a computer printout with my picture and bio on it.
Lieutenant Harris, we got a tip that you might stop by.